Okay, so today's daf is daf mem beis. We begin at the top of mem beis. I'm going to have the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hamoder hana mechavero." Person makes a neder not to get any hana from his friend. Lifnei shviz, before shmita. We'll see what that means. Eino yored latoch sadeu. He cannot enter the guy's field. Veino ochel me'anotos. He cannot get any hana from any of the fruit that are hanging perhaps onto the derech, even though it doesn't require him to go into the sada. It's coming from the sada. It's aser. Ubashvius, but during shvius, eno yored letoch sadeo. He may not enter his field. Aval ochel hu meat notos. He in the tios hanotos. He may eat from the fruit that are hanging over onto the path. So it says the Ran says in the top left here, lo yored letoch sadeo shel madir. So again, the guy takes a nether. So before Shvius begins, meaning during the rest of the 7 year cycle, it means a non Shemitah year, Shalmadi, he cannot enter into the field of the guy he can't get Hana from. The Moder Ha'aser Afilu B'Drisas Regel Kitatan La'el. We learned already in Daf Lamed Beis, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that one may not enter even Drisas Regel, even stepping into another person's property, would be violation of the nether. And further, v'eino ochel min anotos, he may not eat from any of the fruit that even hangs over onto the pathway, even though it doesn't require him to enter the field, but coming from the field, min aperos, chanotos al derech samach lasada. He may not eat from the fruit either. But during Shvi, it says that the Ran doesn't really tell us why that is. So the Gemara will explain the reason, it says the Ran. Why Shvi is, he may not enter the field, but he may eat the fruit that are hanging over. So wait for the Gemara to explain that. Then the Mishnah says, neder heimanu ma'achal lifnei shvius ma'achal. The guy takes a neder, I can't get enough from this person with respect to food items only. Then lifnei shvius yori l'toch sadeu, he may enter the guy's field during shvius, because going into the guy's field, walking in the guy's field, is not any food, not anything about ma'achal. So it's not a violation of the neder. But the eino ocha me'aperos, he may not eat any of the fruit, because eating the fruit would be a violation of neder from the ma'achal. But Bashvius, during Shemitah year, he's allowed to be Yored V'Ochel. He may enter the guy's field, and he may even eat from the field's fruit, and it's not a violation. And the reason being, of course, because during Shemitah, everything's Hefker. It's Avkasa de Malkam. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that Akarish Baruch Hu, the Gzeres Kasav is that it's Hefker, all the fruit's Hefker. So it's not considered getting Hana from the owner of the field. That's why it's permitted even to eat the field, because the second Misha is where there's a nether only with respect to Machal. Okay, looking around for a second for anything on the side here before we go into the Gemara. Okay, nothing. So the Gemara says now, Rav Shmuel Damri Tavai. Both Rav and Shmuel say, Nechasim Elu Alecha Lifnei Shvi, Nechasim Elu Alecha. If you say these properties are usher to you, where the owner, the farmer, says you cannot get any enough from this field, so then the halacha is lifnei shvius, before Shemitah comes in, ein yored l'toch sadeu, ve'ein ochel me'anoto. So this guy who I just forbid from coming into my property, from getting any hana from my property, he may not enter my field, nor may he eat from my field. And af al pi shehigia shvius, even though Shemitah has arrived, he may not eat. What does it mean, Shemitah arrived? So the halacha is, if he made the nether before shvius, then even on Shvius, he's not allowed to get Hana. We'll have to explain why that is in the Ran. But v'im b'Shvius nada. If he took the nether during the Shemitah year, then the halacha is, ein yored l'toch sadeh, he may not enter the field, aval ochel min hanotos. He may eat from the fruit. So what's going on here? So if you look at the Ran here, see the Ran, the first Ran of the Gemara, four lines from the top. Gemara says, af al pi shehigia Shvius, says the Ran. De kesavri Rav Shmuel, both Rav and Shmuel hold, the afa gab the kulu peir the hefkera inin, even though during Shemitah year all fruit are hefker, afilu hachi, still nonetheless kaven shibishah shedir, since the moment he took the nether, hayushalo chayil isur, since the moment he took, talking about a case where he took the nether a year that's not Shemitah, and since during that time of the nether the fruit at the moment were not hefker, so the isur was chal on the isur was chal. Then afilu b'shvius sheyatzu mishuso, even though Shemitah year, now it's no longer mine as the farmer, the fruit are mine, once the nether was chal before him, it's going to continue to remain on this in a second. And the Masnisan trade, Dina Katani, says the Ran, the Mishnah teaches two halachos. Reisha number one is Ashmeinan Techeman Shidilfne Shvius Chal Nidro. I feel like out the Shvius. Number one is when you take the nether before Shvius, it's going to be Chal even on Shvius. The safe Ashmin and the safe tells us the im b'shvius nether. If you took the Shemitah, the nether during Shvius, then nehi de lochal neder lagavi peira defkera ninu lagavi ara mihu machayel. So if I took this nether while we're in Shvius, the nether won't be chal on the fruit because the fruit is not mine at this point, but it will be chal on the land. When the farmer, during Shemitah year, the farmer owns the land. He just doesn't own the fruit. So when I take the nether that you can and Aaron can't get hana from me during Shemitah year, it's not chal on the fruit because the fruit's not mine to make a nether on it. But the property is owned by me, so it does chal on the property that he can't walk in my property. So those are the two things. So two chidushim. You see that? That again, that firstly, Rav and Shmuel hold, if I take a nether before Shvius, that nether's chal, not only now is a chal, but it's even chal, eventually when Shemitah comes, it's chal on those fruit, even though eventually there's going to be hefker, doesn't make a difference, there's an iser nether, even on the fruit during Shemitah year. But according to, Gemara goes on to say now, but Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Damri Tevaya, both they say, if I say nechase lecha, if I say my property is usher to you, then lefnei Shvius, before Shemitah comes, Ein yorei l'toch sadeh. You can't enter my field because I asked my property to you. And further, ein ochel me'anotos. You cannot eat from the fruit that are hanging over onto the outside my field. But if it happens once he gishvis, once Shemitah comes, it changes the nature of that nether. Ein yorei l'toch sadeh. You still cannot enter into my property. Aval ochel hu no esanotos. You may eat the fruit that are hanging over on the outside. So that's the machlokas. You see the machlokas. Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Again, the case being, the machlokas is, they took a nether before Shemitah, what's chal, is that nether going to continue to exist even during Shemitah year. When the fruit become hefker, will that nether continue to exist on the hefker shvuah, the peros? Rav and Shmuel thinks, once a nether's chal on the fruit, it's going to even chal on the fruit during Shemitah year. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say, no, once Shemitah comes, Shemitah doesn't mafkir it, and that mafkir, that hefker that comes automatically during Shemitah, will be mafkia the nether as well, and then Aaron can then get hana from this fruit. That's the machlokas. So Gemara says, lema.
They're arguing on both ends.
Which is the other end?
No, the other end is when you do it on Shvius and it becomes not Shvius anymore, they would also have
a... Interesting, very good. So the Gemara doesn't tell us about that, right? The Gemara only tells us, according to Rav and Shmuel, if you take the nether during Shemitah year, that it's not going to be chal on the fruit, but we don't know what Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish holds about that. So there's no insight from the Gemara itself. The Ram doesn't point anything out just yet. Let's see if anybody on the side says this.
I would think the machlokas is whether the nether goes on the status of it when you made the nether, whether it's on the current status of the fruit. I would think that would be the machlokas.
Let's see. So let's say that out. So let's, according to Rav and Shmuel, what would you conclude then?
So let's say according to Rav and Shmuel, they would say that it's on the status of the fruit when you made the nether. So even if it could become Shvius, it's still Asur. Mm-hmm. And if you made it on Shvius, the fruit was an Asur. So it goes according to the status that it was when you made the nether.
Excellent. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish now?
I would say that it's according to the current status of the fruit. That whatever the fruit is now, that determines whether it's us or not.
Right. So you say even though, so according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, if you took the nether during Shvius, so since that moment of Shvius, it was hefker, the nether is not chal on those fruit, but next year, when the fruit is no longer Shemitah, the nether will be chal.
Right. I think.
So it seems to be logical to say that. Let's see if anybody says this. Yeah, I think the Tosfos are saying something like this, but the Gemara might get into this. Let's do a little bit further in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, "Lema b'ha kemithli." Maybe they're arguing about the following, and I think this is exactly what you suggested, Aram. Lema b'hal kamithki. Maybe they're arguing about the following point. The Rav Shmuel, Savri, both Rav and Shmuel hold, Adam oser davar shib rishuso. A person asks for something that's in his rishus. He only has the ability to ask for that which is in rishus. You can't ask for something in someone else's rishus. So, afilu lichashiyotza mirishuso. Even when that property leaves his rishus, the Isser still exists. So that's the case that they said if you took a nether when it wasn't Shvius, so certainly a nether's chal because it's my property. But not only that, even when it leaves my rishus, even when Shemitah comes, it's no longer my rishus, the Isser continues to perpetuate even after that point. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, says the Gemara, Savri ein adam osa davar shibashuso lich shiyatsim rishuso. A person may not ask for something when it leaves his rishus. Even though the moment he takes another, the davar is in his rishus, the moment it leaves the rishus, namely shivis, then the nether will no longer exist. That's what the Gemara initially thinks is the machlokas. Again, can someone continue to ask for something even after it leaves his rishus? There's a very long run here. We're not going to go into it. I don't think we need to go into it right now. But that's the Gemara's initial understanding of this machlokas. Let's just look at the mefarish, the Rashi mefarish, the first Y line down. The Mefarish explains, Adam osa davar shibrishuso, afilu lichshiyatsim rishuso. Person could ask for something in its rishus, even at the point when it later no longer becomes in rishus, it just will still exist. Dechemin de bishah she'asr habim rishuso, since the moment he took the iser, the nether rather, it was asr, afilu lichihigiyah shvias, even when shvias arrives, nafkim rishuso, and it leaves his rishus, afilu hachi, asurin alav. Still nonetheless, even though the fruit has left his rishus, the iser, still exists. Yochanan Reish Lakish Shavri Ein Adam. A person may not ask for something once it leaves his rishus. Mishum Hachi. For that reason, says the Mefarish, Ki Higia Shvius. When Shvius arrives, Dinafka Mishuse. When it leaves his rishus, Ochel Hu Meat Notos. A person then may in fact eat from the fruit that are hanging over outside the field. That's the Gemara's initial understanding.
Explain one very back up quite a bit. If I ask the fruit in my field, next year's fruit isn't here.
Right. Davar shelo baliolam.
I can still make an answer like that?
I was wondering that thing also. There's davar shelo baliolam, so how could that continue to exist? How does the isser work? Is there an isser that's like staying on top of the trees that wouldn't the fruit come out, the isser just like schal on that?
Maybe it's the same fruit and it passed over the year limit.
So if it's the fruit, then it's the same fruit that was last year, so that fruit was always usher. Exactly. So that I think would be pashut usher. I wonder, even according to Rav and Shmuel, I would think that would be usher also, because that was the same object. Always. So once that object was usher, I think it's always going to be usher. I thought the only question was Harry's point, or your grandfather's point, is that that a new fruit that comes about, that's what we're referring to, but then how does that issue actually work? At the point where I took the nether, it didn't exist. I was wondering that. So let's see if anybody says something about this.
Yeah, but how do you know it has to be the new fruit?
See, yeah, because when it comes to a regular nether, if I make a nether on a piece of bread, that this object is usher, I don't think we could think that nether could ever, unless my nether is, I do hatars nadarm, that nether can never be undone when it comes to the actual object. I thought that was a davar pashut, the esok tree, for example, once is usher, because shvius comes along, I can't understand it being limafreya, not limafreya, but the iser being removed. But I could be wrong. Let's look around for a second. Let's see if they say anything here. Nothing here. Anything in the article on this? You're not seeing anything here.
Just the line says it's difficult to understand how that could be.
Okay, all right. So we're a good company. no one's talking about what type of fruit we're referring to here.
It says here some achronim say that even the future fruits.
Question, how does that work, though? What's the mechanism?
It says the Mishnah teaches in certain circumstances anything that grows out of an object forbidden by an eder is also forbidden.
So that would be, that would assume then the Isser's Chal, the actual trees, then, not the fruit alone.
It says in certain circumstances, so I guess it's going to stay tuned.
Can't we just peek ahead?
No, because in the next article, I'll allow
Okay, so I have to pay attention, but I think it's a very good question. What type of fruit we're referring to? It seems like a stipler they quote here, which maybe get involved in this a little bit. But I'm not able to figure this out right now. Okay, let's we'll stay tuned, I guess, to Yitz Hashem. Okay. So the Gemara now says, so again, the initial machlokas, the initial understanding of the machlokas according to the Gemara was that Rav and Shmuel held that a person could aser something that's in his rishus now, and even to continue to exist, even when it's no longer his rishus during Shemitah, whether first two fruit that were on the tree still, that were, you know, then and still on the tree like an esrog, or perhaps even new fruit will become aser as well, because it comes from a tree that is aser. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish says a person only has the ability to aser that which is in his rishus. But something in the future which will no longer be in his rishus anymore, there cannot be any iser. But his Varel, the Gemara asks, does this really make sense? Mi'ik l'man d'amr, is there such an opinion that ain adam oser davar shirishuso l'chshiyotza mirishuso? Does anybody say a person may not aser something that's in his rishus when it leaves his rishus? Meaning everyone agrees that if I aser it now, it's in my rishus, it asers it now, that iser will exist forever. Even when it's no longer my rishus, the iser will still exist. No one would say that. So the Gemara says, so I guess the point is that if you aser the Gemara's assuming right now, let's say referring to an esrog tree. So if I aser the esrog tree, and now it's shvius, those esrogim can't suddenly, that same esrog cannot suddenly turn into something that's mutter. That can't be true. No one would ever say such a thing like that. In Cain, if that's the case, because if that were to be the case, then Nifleg, the Gemara, should have argued, be nichasim elu, be kolshkein, be nichasai. A person should ask, it should have said, machlokas was in these properties, these nechasim, and obviously in the case of nichsai, if you say nichsai, they're arguing as well. What does that mean? So look at the Gemara. Rather, look at the Mefarish. The Mefarish says, Im Kain, if that's the case, the Mishum Hai Taima Pligi, Vamri De Ochel Hu Bishvius. If that's the case, and therefore we permit them to eat during Shemitah year, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Liflog Bin Nechasim Elu. They should have really had the Machlokas about when I say these properties. Afil Hecha Damar Nechasim Elu Alecha. Even if I say these properties, not my properties, but these properties, you should say Vilemer Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to Ochel Bishvius, and you could eat during Shemitah Mishum Hatam for this very reason. Amar Ein Adam Oser Davar Shibishuso Lichshiasam Rishuso. A person cannot ask for something, even though it's currently in his rishus, when it will no longer be in his rishus, it will be mutter. Kol Shkin Hecha De Amri Nichasai. Certainly, when you say my property, the Mashba Kol Zman Shehin Rishuso, as long as it's in my property. El medilo pliki b'nechasim elu, el b'nechasai shvab inad leslei hai svara. So, the Argo Gemara up until now was talking about b'nechasai, my property. My property sounds like only when it's my property. But when it's not my property, then it's mutter. It sounds like there's a built-in tenai, a built-in zman of the nether. When it's my nechasai, when it's my property, it's aser. But the implication is when it's no longer my property, it's mutter. Now, but if you understand this machlokas to be, I don't have the ability to ask for something when it's no longer my rishus, so the Gemara should have said the machlokas is even a case where I say, nechasim elu, these properties, nothing to do with my ownership. These properties, which I happen to own now, are also to you, and if the assumption is it's also, even when it's no longer my rishus, that's going to be also, still, Kolishkin, when I say the case of Nechasai, my property, certainly that case will be usur as well. And since the Gemara doesn't say the machlokas is, Benuchasim Eilu tells us that that can't be the machlokas, that can't be the basis, the svar of the machlokas. Vesu, another question the Gemara asks, Hotanan, the Mishnah tells us, the Adam Osher Davar Shibishuso, Lechashiyasim Rishuso. There's a Mefurish Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan Mishlal Gush can argue on that says a person may ask for something even when it leaves his possession. The Mishnah tells us in Baba Kama and also appears later on in the Masechta. Ha'omer Lefno, person says to his son, Konem Sha'ata Ne'ena Li, you cannot get any hana from me. Mace, so the father dies. Yershenu, he's able to get her biyorishim. So says the Ra, let's read a little further, sorry. So again, no, a person says to his son, Koneim Shata Nenali, you can't get enough from me. But if he dies, Mace, Yushanu, the son may inherit him. But if he says, the father continues to say, Bechayev Uvimoso, you can't get enough from me whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead, then the lacha is going on to Membez and Membez now. In Mace, if he dies, Lo Yushanu, he cannot inherit him because he took another even after he died. So the question becomes here, well, wait a second. How could that Isser exist if he no longer owns it anymore? It leaves his Rishus once the person dies. Has he have the ability to do that? Let's look at the Ran here. The Ran just explains the Gemara. The very last line of Mem, Beis Amun Aleph, the Ran says, Imeis Yershenu. The first scenario was the father says to his son, you can't get Hana from me. After he dies, the son's allowed to get Hana. It could be Yorishim. Says the Ran, "De la midi day mahane b'sane." The son's not getting enough from the father. The father passed away. Ella mirshusay dezachi le'rachmana. The Torah is mezaki yerusha. Yerusha is a din deraisa. It's the Torah that has given the yerusha to the son. That's okay. But if the father says imlo imeslo yeshenu, the father says you can't get enough whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead. Then the lach is if the father dies, he may not get enough. Why? Explains the Ran, La Dafka Lo Yushenu, not only a case of he can't inherit him, the Nichse Vadai Didei Havu, because the property is certainly the father's, commotion of Farish, Pirkan de la Kaman, beside Visiata de Shemaya, El Mishum de Tanaresha Yushenu, Lomer Shadinu Kishai Yorshin. The Resha, this Mishnah tells us that the son, even though the nether was taken, is like any of the other Yorshin. I feel the Hanos Menachosim, even to get Hanah from the property. Tana Sefer, therefore the Sefer tells me, Nami, Lo Yeshenu, it wanted to be consistent, Lo Marshenu, Mutter, Lehenos Mirshu, so he cannot get Hana. When we come Makam, what comes out in the end of the day is, Shmein and Mehar, we learn from this Mishnah, the Yachal, Adam, La'eser Perosav Al Chavero. A person may forbid his fruit to another friend, La'acher, Shiyatam Mirshu, so even after it leaves his property, his possession. V'lo Havikosun Nichzai Chavero Al Chavero. One can do this. That's the Shaila. The father can ask for his property even after the father passes away, even though it leaves his rishus.
How could he ask to the son?
How could he ask to the son? What do you mean?
I mean, shouldn't the son have to make a nether that he's not going to have Hana?
No, you could have the nether could be in either of the two directions. Either, as you said, the son could say, I don't want Hana from that. He could protect himself or prohibit himself. Or the owner of the property could protect the property from being benefited by somebody else, by the son. Either direction will work. What comes out from this Gemara, this Mishnah, however, is that a person may make a nether that you cannot get Hana from me even after it's no longer my rishus. So how then could Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue and say, no, a person can. If a person takes a nether during the regular year, once Shviyas hits and it's no longer his rishus, you can get Hana. That's against the Mishnah. So the Gemara in the Taba Membeis tells us, Shaini Hacha, this case is different. Here is different. The Ka'amar Le Bechayav Uvimoso. There's a special nether he makes. He says the nether is going to exist, whether it be during the lifetime of the father, or whether it be after the life, after he dies. So it's a specific way, he made a specific stipulation here. A Stam case, it wouldn't work. In a Stam case, we assume that once it leaves the Rishus, it's no longer, but if you make a specific Tanai, a specific stipulation that it will continue to exist even after it's my rishus, then it works. Mara said, okay, it's a very nice answer, but still, we call makom kash, it still is a problem, because in the end of the day, we see that the isser still will exist even after it leaves a rishus. Right, so right, so you see there, should we do the Iran here? Let's see. Let's look at the Ran here. The Ran says, Shiny Hacha. Shiny Hacha the Kamerle Bechayiv of Mosa. This case is different. The reason why the Isser could exist in this Mishnah by the Yerusha is where the father specifically said, both Bechayiv and Vimosa. So the Nether therefore exists even after death. V'hashenachtin and Darga, now we could go down a level, Mimai Desfirla and Mikara. We could drop down a rung from what we assumed initially, meaning, to have a Sfirla, up until now, Ad Hashta, we thought, we initially assume that there's no language one could possibly say to ask for something after it leaves the rishus. But now we're able to admit that when a person is going to articulate and say explicitly a certain stipulation, then the nether can exist even after death. So that much we're agreeing to now. A person can make a special tanai to have the nether exist even after the it leaves his rishus. Miu, still nonetheless, from that question alone, the nihid dachim mefarish lishna matzi aser. When he does articulate the language, the Isra will be chal. Afil hachi b'loshim nechasim elu lo mashmer ela odin b'shuso. When you say these properties, it sounds like only when it's in his rishus. De'af agam v'chi kamar madir nechasim elu v'chi kamar noder bi beischa zel lishono shavin hein. The Tanan, it's going on to a long technical point here. Let's look ahead for a second. If you jump now to the last narrow line of the round here, aval ki aser le madir. But when the madir makes the nether, nihid amr le nechasim elu, when he says these properties are aser to you, kol hecha de lo parish behedya, so long as he hasn't explained explicitly, afilu la'acher shiyatzim reshuso, he to say that even after it leaves my reshus, it's still aser to you, lo mashma ela ki esna reshuso, it implies, the simple understanding is that it implies only when it's in my reshus. Demay yech baslan, what does he care? Why do I mind if it's no longer my rishus if you get hana from it? Therefore, if you just say stam, these properties, it's only aser when it's in my rishus. Now the mission makes sense. But what still is a problematic to us, says the Ran, is the kasha still is. So the first question we had, Dim Isa the Sfirle Hachi the Ryokan Rishlakish, if Ryokan Rishlakish really holds with this Svara, Havaluhul Lafluge and Nechasim Elu Behedya. They should have not only argued about a case of Nechasai, but they should have even argued about a case of Elu Nechasim. And the fact that they didn't argue about Elu Nechasim seems to tell us, that maybe the Svara we said is not correct. Maybe the basis of the Machlokis is not that they're willing to say that when you ask for something, that Tamar Rishus, it only exists when it's my Rishus. Once it leaves my rishus, it's no longer aser. It's not so clear that that's machlokas because the Gemara should have had a better presentation. So the Gemara says finally, Ella b'nechasim elu, when a person, the madir, says that these properties are aser, chuli amar lo pliki. Nobody argues. Everybody agrees that it's true that a person certainly may create an iser. Ki pliki b'nechasai. The only machlokas exists if you say my property. When you say my property, Rav Shmuel Savri Loshna Nechasim Elu Loshna Nechasim. No different whether I say Elu, no different if I say Nechasai. The same halacha applies. Adam Oser, person me create an Isser, even though it's eventually not going to be my property, my possession anymore, the Isser will continue to exist. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as the Gemara Savri, they hold Nechasim Elu. If a person says Nechasim Elu Adam Oser, a person may say an Isser, but Nechasai ain't Adam Oser. But if a person says my property, then a person may not create an Isser, because Nechasai implies that only when it's in my possession is it Oser, but if it's no longer my possession, it is no longer Oser. So let's look at the Ran here for some final explanations here. The Ran says, the first Y line down. Umehadrinan, the first word on the Y line down, Umehadrinan, and the response of Gemara is, Elu b'nechasim, Elu b'nechasim, it's a Ella, Nechasim Elu lo pligi. When you say these properties, Everybody agrees, Devavei Adam Aser. A person can Aser them, even when it leaves his possession, it's Aser. Ki pligi b'nechasai, the machlokas is, when you say, my property is Aser. The Rabbi Shmuel, Savri afilu nechasai Adam Aser. A person can even Aser, even when he says, my properties, which sounds like mine only when they're my possession, but not true. The Chiamri Elu lav dafka. When the example given is Elu, it's not dafka Elu. The Pshitelu, the Chol Hechadamr, nechasai. It's obvious when a person says, my property, afil kiyamar elu ein dinu ela nechasai. Certainly, when a person says, these property, he only refers to my property. There's no difference in elu versus nechasai. But afil hachi, still nonetheless, when you say that example, it's going to be adam oser. Imishim nechasai, nami liol mashma. And the word nechasai, even though it sounds like my property only when I own it, it really means liolam, and the property is always going to be oser to you. The elu shenach sham nechasai kamar. I mean, these properties that are mine now are going to be usher to always. That's how the Gemara, the Ran explains. Imishum dechem dechal yalayo esura sola paka. If the isur chalana now, it's no longer going to be paka. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, says the Ran, savri didafka nechasim elu adam osur. Only when you say these properties are usher, which sounds like they're usher forever. Aval b'nechasai. If I say my property is usher to you, ain't adam osur. The person does not create an Isser because it implies like only when he owns it, not when he doesn't own it. And he goes on to explain the Mishnah. We could leave the rest of the Ran out for now. Gemara now says on the top here, Mi'ika, we are six lines from the top now. Mi'ika, is there such an opinion? Mi'ika l'man damar, is there such an opinion that Loshna Nechasim Elu, Loshna Nechasai, that one would distinguish between the that there is no distinction. Is it Rav and Shmuel, are they really correct that you could say Nechasai, Nechasai, Elu are the same exact thing? V'hatanan, the Mishnah tells us, now this is a Mishnah that appears later on, in a few days from today, the Mishnah says, Ha'omer l'chaveir, a person says to his friend, Konim l'toch beisecha, Shani nechasas ad esir, Shani nechnas. So he says, I'm creating a nether that I cannot walk into Harry's house. I can't walk into the house. Or I say, Sadecha, Shani lokech, or I cannot buy your property. So what happens? I say it to Reuben, let's say, or someone says it. So I cannot go into the guy's house. I can't go into the guy's property. I can't buy the property. Mace Oshemachlacha, the owner of this house, the owner of the field, sells it to another person now. Mutter, I can go into the house because it's no longer Reuben's house anymore. He doesn't own it, only when he owned it. But if you say Lebezef, I say this house, then this house is also, the Chefza of the house is also. Even in a case of Shani Nichas, one second, Shani, yeah, Lebeze, Shani Nichas, or if I say Sadeze, Shani Lokech, this house is also to me to go into, or this field is also for me to buy, and then the owner, Meso Shemach Lach, he dies or sells it to somebody else, that will still be Aser. What's the difference? Because one case I say, his house, Beisach, or your house, I say, so it's only when it's yours, but when it's not somebody else's, I can go into it. And one is where I say, by Zed, this Chefta, regardless of the owner, that will continue to exist. So even in the case here, even Rav and Shmuel should agree that Nechasim Elu is different than Nechasai. If I say Nechasim Elu, it implies that these properties are Aser forever, regardless of who owns it. If I say Nechasai, it's only Aser when I own it. When I sell it to somebody else, it won't be Aser. So how could Rav and Shmuel suggest that there is no difference between these languages? It's a Mefurish Mishnah that there is a distinction. So Ella, finally, Gemara comes to a conclusion. Ki Amri Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, when they said their piece, B'nechasai, they were talking about, when I say my property, it's only going to usher, be usher when it's actually my property, when I sell it to somebody else, or during Shemitah, when it's forcibly taken away from me, then they think it's mutter. Rav Shmuel, we're talking about a different case of Nechasim Elu, when I said these properties are usher, then they'll always be usher regardless of who owns it. Regardless of its shvius, it will always be aser. But lo pligi, they don't argue. They're just talking about two different scenarios, but they both agree to each other. Nechasai is aser only when he owns it. When he doesn't own it, it's a mutter. Nechasim elu are always aser, even if he doesn't own it anymore. Okay. Now, by the way, just going through the rest of the Gemara, it sounds like to me that referring to even a case of estrogim that were on the tree the whole time, even though they were once aser, during Shvius, they become mutter. That's what it sounds like to me, but it could be wrong. We'd have to double check with the Rishonim. And the Gemara now says, a few lines before the new Mishnah, Ubashvius ein yored l'toch sadeo. So this is going on the line that if he takes a nether from a person, even though during that year perhaps he could get hanaf from the fruit, he cannot enter in to the field. So ask Gemara, Ma'ishna de ochel min anotes de peri de hefker inhun. So why is it true that during Shemitah, I could eat any of the fruit that are hanging outside, over the fence, into the pathway, I could pick off those apples and eat. That's okay. Why? They're hefker, so no one owns it. It wasn't the same issue that was on the fruit itself before Shemitah. Now Shemitah, everything's hefker. But Aranami hefkara. But the property also. During Shemitah, all the property is mutter as well. It's all considered hefker. Anyone could come into my field during Shemitah and just take my fruit. Not only the fruit, but they can even walk into my field. That's all permitted.
They could walk into it, but it's still considered hefker.
So it's a very good question. So that's what we saw a number of days ago. There's a opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He held that walking into somebody's property is considered hana. Not everybody agrees. So come and think, walking to property, you know, in different places in Muncie, so these big the big properties people have. And to walk to a shul sometimes, to walk around on the street is like going around a long way. If you just cut to people's backyards, you get more direct. So when I went to Muncie for Shabbos a few times, everyone just cuts to everyone's backyards. That's understood. No one really cares. But sometimes people really do care. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov felt that walking into someone's property, if there's an Isser Hanah taken, there's a nether taken, one may not do that. So even though it sounds like not much of Hanah, it's considered Hanah the way we pass it. So how is it Mutter? During Shemitah, again, not only the fruit Hefker, but even the Karka is Hefker as well. So he should be able to not only take the fruit that are hanging onto the pathways, but even come into my field and eat from my fruit should be Mutter as well. I think that's the Shaila of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amrul Ula explains, Beomdom Ilanos al Hagvulum. He's talking about a situation where the trees are on the border. What does that mean? So the Gemara, Ran explains, Amrul Ula, Beomdin Ilanos, it's around 8 lines up from the bottom, Amrul Ula, Beomdin Ilanos al Hagvulum, where the trees are lying on the border. Ein Hachanami de Lulkal Ilanos Shibem Sasa de Mutter. Ein Achanami person may enter Liyera L'Tocho, if it's a fruit in the center of the field, I could walk through and get to the land. Aval Lukos Ilano Shomdun Al Hagvulun Lo. But if it's a tree that's mamish on the border, where I don't need to get into, I could reach it just as easily from outside, the Torah only permitted, it was only mafkir the land to get fruit, Hilgach Kevin She Ilanos Halol Yachul Lakot Osum Lo Yirit. Meaning, when the Torah said Shvius kicked in, and Shvius says the property is Hefker, it didn't say it's Hefker for everything. It doesn't mean that I could go in my backyard and play soccer or basketball or football in the guy's field. It means I could enter the guy's field to take fruit. If the fruit are accessible without me having to go into the field, and in this case it is, since they're hanging on the outside, I'm not allowed to go into the field. That's unnecessary walking. I could pick off the fruit. But if the fruit's inaccessible, only through walking into the field to get the fruit, that's the only way to get to it.
What's wrong with unnecessary walking?
Because the heter, when we say when the Gemara is mafkir, Shemitah, again, assuming that walking into someone's property is considered an isser, it's usher to get to walk into your property. So the Torah is mafkir the property, so I'm allowed to. So the Gemara is saying it wasn't mafkir the property for everything, it was mafkir the property for a very specific purpose, this purpose of getting fruit. But to walk into your yard, into a nice farm, and start playing football in the backyard, the Shemitah doesn't tell me I can play football in your backyard. The Shemitah tells me that I could eat your fruit. If the fruit are accessible from the outside, so then me walking inside is unnecessary anymore. I could just as easily get it from the outside. But to have to walk in, that's considered unnecessary.
What if you prefer the fruit that's inside?
Seemingly that would be okay then.
Even if it's the same type?
Yeah, same type. That's what I'd imagine. It sounds like these specific trees that I want to get from are on the border. I would imagine, it doesn't say this, I would imagine though, if the same fruit exists inside, the Gemara never makes the distinction of which fruit I want to take. But if I decide to take the fruit on the borders, then I don't have any right. If I want that same fruit in the center, I would seem to have a right to walk inside. The Gemara now suggests another reason why there's a difference between the entering to the land. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim explains, Amar Gezeira Shema Yisha Bamida. The concern is that it sounds like, we'll see the round in a moment, but it sounds like even to walk inside the center would be a problem, because let's say you walk in there and then you delay a little bit. I mean, the hefter to walk in is only to get the fruit. Let's say you come in and you sit down, it's a little hot outside, you want to get some shade under the trees, so that would be already an isser. So to avoid leading to an isser of waiting around a little bit, they said not to walk inside ever if a person took a nether, because it might lead to a real violation of that nether. So let's look at the round inside. The round says 6 lines from the bottom, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim Omer. Gezeira Shema Yisha Bamida. He might delay, he might stay there for a little bit longer than he's allowed to. For this reason, even to collect the fruit that are in the center of the field, he shouldn't enter into the field. Even though Mikar Din, he's permitted to. Because the Torah was mafri the land, it allows me to enter the land to take the fruit. Mishum gzeira also, because of the gzeira, the concern is I might delay a little bit more than I'm supposed to. Then that will be a violation of this iser neder. V'afagav, even though the Ran goes on to explain the halakha as yunan shama yisha v'amida, even though here they make an iser gzeira because I might delay by standing. Ula'el gavei cholelo gazer Shmuel, but Shmuel, the same author, actually a different person, but Shmuel said by the beaker cholim, a guy went to visit the chola, and he's allowed to stand, but he's not allowed to sit. El Hashemah Yishev b'Yeshiva, the only concern is you shouldn't sit to visit a chola if there's a nether, because by you sitting, you might stay longer than you're supposed to and violate an iser. But by standing to visit a chola, by standing, we're not assuming you're going to hang around a little bit more. By standing, it's uncomfortable for you to stand, so you're going to, once you finish doing what you need to do for the chola, you'll leave right away, so you shouldn't get any hana from him, because it's a case of a nether. Dimkein letasra levakro afilo omed. That's the case, just like Shmuel, just like Rabbi Shimon el Yochum said, it's also to stand in a field, because you might stay longer than you're supposed to. So too by Bikur Cholim, there should be an issur to stand to visit a chola, because you might stay more longer than you're supposed to. The Ran says there's a difference. Hosam by Bikur Cholim, hainu taima mishun techebin de derech mevakel liyashav. Since it's the normal way, when you go visit, you sit down next to the chola on the bed, and you come closer to him. So then, v'atam atzri chalam, what do we make you stand up? There's a reminder for Yishev Bamida. This guy is going to say to myself, why am I standing? Well, I'm standing because I made a nether, or he made a nether, and I can't get hana. That's going to remind me, the moment I finish doing what I need to do for the chola, I need to get out of here. So there's a hacker built in. Aval hacha, here by the case of the Sadeh, by the Shvi's case, my hacker is lehe. There's no hacker. There's nothing different than I'm doing normally. Ha'ein derech lulkot esaperos elavim b'amida. Nobody sits down to collect fruit. You can't collect fruit while you're sitting down. You have to stand up. People stand up. There's no difference from what I normally do. Therefore, it's shayach l'migzar shema yisha. Therefore, it's very appropriate. It's a necessity to make a gzera lest he stay longer than he's supposed to. Even though he's standing, even when he's standing, there's room to make a gzera. Should we do this mishnah just to get to the end of the block? Or should we wait till tomorrow? A few minutes, I'll do the Mishnah, and then maybe we'll do it again if we need to tomorrow. We'll just get started. The Mishnah says, "Hamoder hana mechaver." A person makes a nether from his friend to get any hana. Lo yeshilenu v'lo yishal mimenu. He cannot lend him out anything, nor may he borrow from him. That's considered hana. We'll get to tomorrow. Mir Tashem. V'lo yelvenu v'lo yelven mimenu. He may not lend him any money. First, an object. You cannot lend him out an object. And here means you can't lend him any money, nor can you borrow money from him. And finally, v'lo yimchor v'lo yikach mimenu. You cannot sell, nor can you buy from either. Do any business with him would be forbidden as well when a person were to take a nether. Okay, so we'll stop here a little bit early.